dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for this weekend devotion as we ponder the blessedness of being in God's presence. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, it is good to be here in your presence. Here we are at home with each other and with you. Here we discover the joy of life and the strength to live each day with praise in our hearts to you. You alone are God. You alone can show us the way to the life that lasts forever. Speak to us even now through your word and by your spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading is from Psalm 84, the whole psalm, and I'm reading from the NIV. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. May God bless his word to us today and always. Psalm 84 is a pilgrimage psalm, or hymn sung to encourage God's people, and it expressed the great joy of the pilgrim who would be traveling to Jerusalem as they did for various feasts on an annual basis. There was only one center for these events, the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, the journey to God's house was a wonderful, hope-filled experience, and the psalmist here expresses a deep longing to dwell in the temple of the Lord. It was not so much a longing for the physical buildings themselves, although their presence represented the continued presence of God among his people, but it was a profound longing and hunger to be with God, to be as near as possible to the presence of God, and to join with other worshippers was a wonderful occasion where God's people were welcomed without fear of being rejected or turned away, without fear of being judged by God. This is how it ought to be when God's people gather for worship, where the most important part of gathering is to be before the Lord and approach him with confidence and great joy, even as they did then. How could they have this kind of confidence? Because, said the psalmist, if the sparrow and even the swallow, who had come into the temple quite easily, had found a place to make a nest, as was their habit, if these little creatures could be so close to God's presence, how much more would God not welcome his people who had travelled from far and wide to come and worship him? While such a comparison is not directly made, what so easily comes to mind are the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 6-7, to those gathered before him, where he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." That the location of the bird's nest is very specifically mentioned in verse 3, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, is a powerful image of God's welcoming presence and tender care. But more importantly, the altar was where relationship with God and his people was restored and maintained by way of sacrifice and offering. And it spoke of the reality of forgiveness as well as the assurance of God's covenant blessings upon his people. It is not surprising, then, that in verse 2 the psalmist said, My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. These are the words of a pilgrim hungry for God. The God of the Bible, who is believed in on the basis of words delivered to his people via various others over the centuries. One who has neither been seen nor touched, but who spoke then and does so now into human hearts in a mysterious, powerful, and life-transforming way by his Holy Spirit. And of course, in these last days, said the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 2, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. For the pilgrim then, the blessing was to dwell in his house, to be in God's presence, close to him. It was found in simple trust in the Lord's faithfulness to his covenant promises, which included his protection and provision, even when they set their hearts on pilgrimage, which was a journey embarked on year after year. Such was their expectation that when they traveled through a particularly dry region like the Valley of Baca, God blessed them by providing rain at the right time. And, apart from the cry for God to look upon their king, their shield, God's anointed one with favor, there is the well-known expression of a deep desire for God and to be in his presence at all costs. This is seen in verse 10, where the psalmist says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." For the pilgrim, there was nothing that could bring more satisfaction than being in the presence of the Lord. For in God's presence their prayers were heard. They knew God's favor and protection. His intentions were always good towards his people, and they could confidently trust in him and were blessed for doing so. As we draw to a close then, in so many ways the idea of pilgrimage applies to the follower of Jesus today. It has to do with the desire to walk closely with God, to live in covenant relationship with him. It also has to do with knowing that God accepts and receives us on the basis of our faith in Jesus and his saving work through the cross. The difference between pilgrimage in Psalm 84 and ours today is that we are on a journey of faith that will take us to another city. For the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 14 says this, "For here, on this earth and in this life, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." This is so because we do not need to gather for the purposes of sacrifice for the sake of forgiveness or atonement. For Jesus has accomplished this through his death and resurrection. He is the Lamb of God who finally takes away the sin of the world once for all time. Another difference between pilgrimage in Psalm 84 and ours is that we gather regularly not to bring sacrifices and offerings in order to find atonement or forgiveness, but to be a witness in our world to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to refresh and renew our walk of faith in community with others through songs of praise and prayers of adoration, and then to go out into the world as Christ's witnesses. And so let's remember the words of Jesus about the birds, that if God concerns himself with the well-being of the birds, and if he knows when a sparrow falls from a tree, then we must know he sees our lives, wherever we are, and cares for us deeply, and sees each of us here in this place, together. We are then encouraged to come together in this house of God while we are here on earth, and when we do, to do so with a sense of anticipation and joy that God is present. It's almost like rehearsing for the day that we will be with the Lord. David, in Psalm 23, speaks of his longing and assurance of being in God's presence in similar terms when he says at the end of his psalm, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The final outcome of our existence as followers of Jesus Christ, our hope, is that we find ourselves in his courts, in his presence, in a way that is so much more than what we may know and experience in this life. But what we do know from God's word is this: For us, the ultimate assurance of our dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is found in these unforgettable words of Jesus to Martha in John chapter 11, verse 25, where he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This hope and assurance surely belongs to God's people. While we are on this journey to a city that is not of this world, our work is to share our faith with those who have not yet come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that your presence is not fixed to one place only. Though your people of old found comfort in your temple and there felt especially close to your presence, you have never been confined to a specific location. Thank you that here and in our life's journey, your presence is with us to lead us to a city that is to come, beyond this life and in God's very presence. Amen. And God bless you.